bring in Mr. Lord Alan Sugar.
Here he is.
Look at him with his hands in his pockets. You'll ruin them suit trousers if you keep walking around with your hand in your pocket. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Chris.
Well, welcome, Lord Sugar. You fine, fine man. You powerhouse of business. What's wrong?
Why am I looking at Margaret on the screen?
Well, we always like to put a picture on the computer screen of something related to our guests. We thought we'd put Margaret on there. We thought you might be missing her.
Yeah. Dominic did that. He thought it might be nice.
Who's he?
Dominic, you met Dominic outside.
Dominic,
I was talking to him about hair transplants.
Right. Mm.
Yeah, it's a very topical subject at the moment.
This is it.
Does work. You know, they don't realise that they think, these youngsters out there in your little studio, they think they just take the hair and plonk it in and it just sits there. But it actually grows afterwards. And you've got to have a haircut.
That's what I heard.
It's clever, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm looking at your hairline there.
Look away.
Not yet.
No. I've got very good hair. Very thick hair, me.
Mm. Yeah. Thick, yeah.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Right, come on in, get on with it.
All right, what did you get my brother for his birthday?
Pardon?
What did you get my brother? It's my brother's birthday today. What did you get him?
I don't know. Oh, I didn't know if you'd have given me an advance notice.
All right, well, it'll be the same time next year.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So, the 7th series of The Apprentice is on, and episode 6 already.
I know.
Is tonight. Now, do you watch it every week? When it goes out,
I do, yeah, because I'm, as you would know, when you're not out boozing, you sometimes join me in live tweeting.
I love that.
Yeah. So we have a little bit of a banter over it. Yeah,
it is good. Now, do you see these shows before they go out?
Yes, obviously, I have a look at them once they've been done. Yeah, patched up, all patched together.
Right.
Yeah, there's, you know, I've mentioned many times. There's 120 hours, sometimes up to 140 hours of filming.
Mm.
And it all has to be squeezed down to 1 hour.
It is, I would imagine, it's a nightmare to make that show.
Mm. Do you often then sort of say, after seeing an episode, that you're not happy with it and you get them to recut it, or...?
Well, I think it's fair to say that, I mean, with 120 hours of stuff, obviously I get to see maybe 3 or 4 iterations of it before it goes there. So they do ask a little bit of my input, just as a, you know, they say I've got a bit of a nose for what the consumers like. Mm. So, you know, it's obviously to listen to what people think about it.
Yeah.
And so sometimes there's a, you know, a few bits and pieces that get changed, you know, particularly if we're passing by Great Portland Street and you see some ugly person in the street near the BBC building.
Why
you'd edit him out, wouldn't you?
Get that out straight away. He's sitting there outside the cab smoking.
Do you know what? I've told you, one of my friends works on The Apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't work on The Apprentice, but works on The Apprentice. He's the colourist.
The who?
The colourist. He colours it all in. I told you this before. You'd never pay attention.
Yeah.
And if you have a dig at me, one phone call to Tim, and I'll go...
Green hair.
Yeah. Make his eyes purple.
Yeah, all right.
Blacken out one of his teeth.
Yeah.
And that's what... So you'll be watching tonight, mm-hmm. and you'll go, hello. And your teeth will be all yellow and stained. So don't... Just watch it.
He's done a good job then, really, because I sometimes look at myself and I think that's very... Did you have a chat with him the last time about making my teeth a bit whiter or something?
Yeah, I asked him if he could do
that.
He's
very good.
He's very clever, isn't he?
What about those when they sometimes have a little sparkle off someone's teeth? Have you seen that?
Do you want me to give it...
Let's get that in on episode 8, so you can do that.
Does he do that?
When you smile, you'll go...
Can he do that?
You can do anything.
You can do anything.
I've said this a million times before, because the colour of The Apprentice is blue, because that's the colour of business. So if you watch The Apprentice...
And Spurs also, yeah.
Well,
Spurs shorts.
Yeah. It's very subliminal. You know, it's very clever.
Yeah, no, I think so.
And he's a well rough fella for Middlesbrough, does it as well. You know, it's such a classy show, The Apprentice, and you've got this Borough fella colouring it in. Mm.
It's the eyes.
It's the what?
It's the eyes. People's eyes on the programme.
He could make, if you wanted, he could make your eyes blue for like one scene.
Mm-hmm. And not a bad idea. Well, what about one blue and one green?
Do you want to do that?
Yeah.
Right. One like a rabbit.
One brown and one blue. Yeah.
I'll find out which one is, because he won't have done them all yet. I reckon they're still...
That's the thing, because people on that show who have blue eyes then have piercing blue eyes. Yeah. They tend to. Mm-hmm. So it all fits in.
It's another great series. Are you happy with it?
Yeah, it's very, very good. Tonight's is a load of rubbish.
Right.
You would never, ever have a guest on your programme, would you? Say, what do you think of your programme tonight? So, well, it's actually all about a load of rubbish. Yeah. Right?
But it is. But you love rubbish.
Well.
Well, you think rubbish has potential.
Well, it has got potential, as we'll see tonight. The whole point of this series is all about trying to encourage people into starting a business of their own and to show that it means you can actually start from scratch.
Yeah.
Because there's too many people out there. I mean, we've gone through an era in the last 10 or 15 years where there's this kind of expectancy culture out there that, you know, I want to start a business up there. Never mind about down there and, you know, having to work your way up and learn how to do things. And the point is, we need to get back to thinking about starting at the bottom. So this is shows you how you can make some money from nothing.
My only concern with this series, Lord Sugar, Lord,
yeah,
Mr. LS, is because now they don't get a job with you. And I can understand why you want to change that with some of the doylems that are on the show. But now you give them money to help start up a business.
Yes.
But a lot of them, they've all left their jobs to take part in The Apprentice. So what if somebody wins and they haven't got an idea of what they want to do?
Well, that's part
And they go, I've bought a semi-detached in Bury.
Yeah.
10 years' time, you'll see an investment.
What?
Well, you're going to give them money to start a business. What if they go, thanks very much, and then I don't know what I want to do.
Do I look like Piers Morgan, a brain dead? Now, come on. Before we let these people into the process, we kind of... Part of the thing is to actually appraise their business plans, right? So, for example, when you get down to the last 200 candidates that have gone through the auditions, you ask them, what is your business idea? Now, if one of them says, I want to start a radio station and be like Chris Moyles, you say, right, well, sorry, don't matter how many university degrees you've got and how clever you are.
One.
Sorry, you're out. You're out.
One.
Even if you're a good-looking girl or anything like that, you're out. Because,
right.
You know, there's only one Chris Moyles.
You understand what I mean?
So we virtually have an understanding that every one of the people, candidates, that come into the process has a business idea or plan that I'm going to be reasonably happy with.
All right.
So that's it.
Do you think, and I don't know if I've asked this before, do you think the Dragons get it easy as far as business opportunities put on a plate in front of them?
Well, I think that the Dragons I like that programme. And I think it's very, very, very conceptually very good. I think it's a bit different with the Dragons in the sense that they have actually got people coming in front of them that have already got a business up and running.
Right.
It's not a seed of an idea or something like that. So they've got something up and running, and normally they say they've got a new product or they want to expand, and they explain their business to the Dragons, and then they ask them to weigh in a bit of money, you know, and all that. So
I've seen it. Yeah. But what I'm saying
is...
that's why I'm talking about
BBC
it.
BBC too.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. Have you got shares in the BBC? You probably own the BBC. Do you own us then?
Not yet.
But what I mean by that is you have to go and look out for... new business opportunities, whereas Bannatyne sits on his fat Scottish ass and then it comes to him. Yeah. And then he sits and he goes, I'll start with you. I'm out. He doesn't like spending money, does Duncan, does he? Oh, he's tight.
He's careful.
I bet he makes you look generous.
Well, listen, a BBC colleague, you know what it's like in this industry. One mustn't criticise, you know, our kind of contemporaries, if you understand.
Oh, I'd love to.
Now, you've already said his posterior is large.
He has a big bum.
And I'm not sure whether that is acceptable. You
well,
know,
sue me.
That,
so you'll see you in court, Duncan.
It's part of the BBC, you know... genre, as
stop giving me that. You love to rock the boat. Look at his face. As soon as it's there, now he's smiling. Who's your favourite of the Dragons? Like, you must know them personally, or some of them.
I like Theo. Yeah. Theo's all right. He's okay. And Duncan's is good value, and Peter's good value. There's a new lady coming on. I don't know what she's
doing. Is Deborah Meaden not doing it?
No, Deborah is. There's another lady coming on, replacing
James Carnes.
He was so busy, he had to go off and do something else. He's terribly busy.
Yeah.
Terribly busy fellow, so he just couldn't afford the time anymore. And he had to put to one side all this stardom and... you know, being recognised in the street.
Couldn't fit in, could he?
No, no.
Yeah, it's a tough life.
Too much for him. So he had to go off, you know, and sort that out.
Talk me through. Do you have a typical working day?
Basically, I wake up at 7, you know, this is without an alarm clock, and I normally go downstairs and look at some emails that have come in overnight from America or the Far East, just to catch up, and you can catch up with some late night emails, sort them out, get that out of the way.
Now, when you do this, I'm trying to paint a picture.
Mm.
Dressing gown, silk dressing gown.
I've got a t-shirt on and a pair of shorts and just go downstairs and get into my little office room there and clear up all the emails, have a look at the press cuttings of the day, because I get them sent to me through the night, so I can see who's slagging me off.
Nice.
You know, so it sets me up for the day.
Yeah.
And then I pop into Twitter, start a bit of a row around about 7:30, 7:45, and then, you know, go off and have a shower and a bit of breakfast, and then I'm out.
Do you have strict rules about, right, I am done tonight by 7 and that's it, I'm out of here, or I don't work weekends?
Do you turn your phone off?
No, I'm...
Oh, but you never turn your phone off.
Well, no, I just want to...
You sound like my wife now. Shut up, you silly man. Turn your phone off. It goes off when I go to sleep. That's it. I turn it off then because it bleeps in the night, which annoys the wife.
Yeah.
There are no set times for me. I always say I'm 24/7 person, so I'm known for answering immediately. The reason I answer emails and things like that immediately is because it's a kind of a habit you get into, a trained habit you get into. As you get a bit older, you know if I don't answer it now and give that person an answer, or even say to that person, look, I haven't got the answer now, but I'm answering you anyway. It's for you to remind me tomorrow to answer you.
Yeah.
Right.
Otherwise, I just forget.
Yeah.
I like to get it sorted straight away.
I'm very similar. I respond immediately. Dave will tell you.
Send me a text or
a phone. As soon as the phone rings, I'm on it. Boom.
Right.
Text, I'm on it. Boom. Isn't that right, Dave?
He can text you on a Monday, and you might hear back on a Thursday or a Friday to a simple question.
Oh, he's being facetious.
He's being facetious.
That's right. I am being facetious.
Yeah.
But you're right, though, because that's what I forget. I go, I'll do that. I'll do that later. Mm-hmm. And then I never do it.
You find it a week later, don't you, and you realise you haven't done anything about it.
It annoys me, though, and not particularly, you know, superstars like you, but I would expect that me sending you a tweet and not replying, it's quite normal because of your busy schedule.
Sure.
But with my own kind of staff or people that I work with, I do get annoyed with them if they don't answer immediately.
Right.
To an email. Even if the answer is, I'm noted, I'll go and find out, or something like that. And then you go say to them a day later, did you get my email? And they go, I'm so busy. I'm just that. What are you busy doing? What was you doing?
I'm busy working, making you millions.
No, but you should. The boss has sent you an email. You should look at it and say, respond.
That's right. Are you hearing this, Alad? That's right, God damn it.
I'm hearing this.
When I send you a message. You know, sometimes I ring Alad, the producer of the show. Sometimes he doesn't even answer the phone.
Really?
I'm the boss.
Do you think he's got caller ID and he knows it's you?
I don't know what he's doing.
I want an answer for something. I've said to him,
bring that phone with you to the toilet. I don't care if you're having a dump. Well, you answer that phone when I ring.
This is what happens. When the phone rings and it says Chris, I go, oh, it's Chris, everyone. Silence.
I'm going for a dump.
Oh, that's terrible. If you rang me, Lord Sugar, and I was on the toilet, I'd still answer.
Really?
But I would wash my hands before I answer the phone.
Well, I could ring you. Perhaps if you had a bout of constipation, you could email me and I could ring you. And certainly things that I would say to you might actually be better than any piece of medication. Get it really moving, get it flowing.
I'm going to ask you a question that I don't want you to answer. I want you to answer in your mind. I don't want you to actually say anything out loud. And I'm going to be able to judge by your facial
expression.
Okay? Lord Sugar. Do you tweet when you're sitting on the toilet? That's a yes. That's a yes right there. That's a yes. Now look, now watch.
It's unhealthy.
You do?
No, absolutely not. So never take the BlackBerry into the latrine area, because I'm getting a bit like Howard Hughes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've got all that stuff, that goo. I keep wiping my hands with it all the time.
To clean his hands, by the way. Let me just clarify.
The thing is that...
But hand sanitizer.
Yeah, we use the proper stuff, not that commercial rubbish that BBC uses. I've got the proper stuff. Yeah, they use in hospitals. And
sure.
That, yeah. And I've got more around the office wall. And,
really? You're getting OCD and cleanliness.
And I've got a bottle in the car, which is taken from there. So the thing is, these devices, like your BlackBerries or your keyboards, they are areas of infestation. So you certainly wouldn't take it into that area that you're talking about.
Right.
Yes.
But that's it. There'll be more germs on there than on your toilet seat, though, won't there?
It's a good answer, but I still think you tweet while you're in the loo.
Not at all.
I'm telling you, you do. You can say all you want. All.
Twitter on the toilet.
Twitter on the toilet.
No.
That'd be a good book.
No, yeah, no, I think
no,
so.
No.
You love
it. When I'm out riding my bike and you get caught short a little bit, I've got this particular places that my son-in-law calls, you're going to stop at your toilet. It's a tree, a big bush somewhere out in Essex somewhere. And I have to relieve myself occasionally if we drink too much water. Mm. But I've been noticing over the years whether there's a particular piece of foliage growing there that is actually,
like a sugar plant.
Well, it could be. Mm. Yeah, it's nothing growing. No. In fact, I think the tree next to it is dead.
Well, I think we've all got an image now.
Yeah.
I don't know what that image is exactly, but I've definitely got one. Well, look, there's
and I've managed to avoid sun photographers that follow me around on my bike. I've got a special method of dodging them, so they can't take a picture. They can't take a picture of me where this tree is, really.
Right.
Because you know what's outside it? It's a big sign saying, buy the Daily Express.
Right, and that puts them off.
Well, obviously, they can't take a picture of me.
They get very scared.
See what I mean? This is how I think it through.
You're a big fan of the newspapers, aren't you?
Love them.
Big fan of those papers.
You know what I say about the newspapers? That people say that everything in them is not true. I've always said it is. The thing you can rely upon, very, very safe, is on the front they've got the date right and the price. Mm-hmm. Those beyond that, you can forget everything else.
There you go. I applaud that. Very nice. Very nice.
You should advertise rival papers on your cycling kit as well. Then they couldn't get you anywhere.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You've got to be thinking. You've got to be thinking on your feet. As I say, I've got a Daily Express placard that I carry around with me in case I want to do a little Jimmy Riddle behind a tree on my bike, knowing that no photographer from the Sun will take a picture.
Well, you say that, though, but I don't know if you've seen that paper today, but it's page 7. There's a massive picture of you having a poo next to a tree in the Daily Express. Going, we're quite happy to print it. Obviously, that's not true.
No,
of course it's not true.
All right, well, look, we need to do the news, and then we'll play a song, and then we'll come back with more thoughts from the amazing mind that is Lord Sugar. The man, the myth, the legend, the Sid James lookalike, the businessman. He's my step uncle. You know, that's how I referred to him. He's like my adopted uncle. I love that. And I think you'd love me as an adopted son or nephew. Mm. I think you would. You know, running around the house at the weekend.
Mm.
Come on, Uncle Sugar. Mm. Let's play hide and seek. You know, like that. You're 24, you're full. What are you doing? It'd be good, wouldn't it? He's mulling it over. Look.
I could get you a Barbie doll.
No.
I'm supposed to.
I don't want a Barbie doll. I want a Maybach.
Maybach? Oh, that's Theo's car, isn't it? Have you seen that?
Mm. Theo and Peter got one each, yeah.
Dear, oh dear.
I just tried to hire one. It's very expensive.
He's always up for a few quid.
Who?
Theo, he'll lend you his money.
Yeah, but then what will he do for the weekend? He won't be able to get
him. You give him enough money, he'll go buy a minicab.
Yeah, but if I have that money, I'd buy a mini. By the way, £20,000 for a mini oven and a private jet.
I know.
You're in the wrong job.
No, can you imagine how frustrated I was with that?
Oh, why don't you just get a microwave?
Can't. It's against the law.
What do you mean?
Telling you, it's against the law. The Civil Aviation Authority is the authority that says this is how an aeroplane's got to be kitted out. So you've got to have all this special equipment that is tested in a certain way that, you know, if I don't know.
So hang on, so you're not allowed a microwave, but you're allowed...
No, you're allowed a microwave.
Oh, you are?
Of course you are, but it's got to be made by a special rip-off microwave aeroplane manufacturing company. It's the same bleeding microwave as you go and buy an Asda for 49 quid, but they put a different box around it, they print some flash name on the front,
right,
and they've put it through a bit of testing, and they charge 20 grand for it.
That's, well,
it.
Why don't you buy that business? Yeah.
And knock them out for 10 grand.
No, but well, the thing is, it's because they're most probably owned. I think they're owned by one of the big airplane manufacturers.
Right.
As a subsidiary of one
of them. Yeah, very, very wise.
I won't mention their name, Boeing.
Right.
But, you know, they're owned by it, so you can't go and buy it. They don't want to sell it because they're on a winner. They make more money out of ovens than out the blooming planes.
All right, well, look, I want to talk more about your plane, and I want to talk about... That's why we played aeroplanes before you came in, because I know you like to fly.
Fair enough.
What we'll do, we'll play a little... what's this? Download. And then we'll do Dominic and Tina with the news of sport. We'll play a song. We'll be back with Mr. Lord Sugar. You're not looking at your watch, are you?
No.
Are you all right for a little bit?
I've got plenty of time.
Just admit, you love coming on the show.
Plenty
you
of time.
It. You love it, don't you? You love
quite entertaining. I don't like the traffic getting here. That's the only thing.
Now, why are you flying?
Well, it's nowhere to land
on the roof.
You can't land in Great Portland Street.
Yeah.
With a helicopter. You have to get special permission.
No, you don't. You'd be in and out before everyone knows.
I don't like helicopters. They're dangerous. Well, sorry. Sorry for everybody who owns a helicopter. Blah, 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 that I personally wouldn't get a helicopter.
Right. All right. But you used to be in a helicopter on the opening titles of The Apprentice.
I know, I didn't like it.
Right.
I didn't like it. I think a helicopter defies physics.
So hang on, so in the opening titles...
Yeah.
When you were sitting there...
His gills have gone up here. Look, he's clocked something. He's seen me in a helicopter.
Sir Alan
Sugar.
You don't
like a helicopter.
He once owned a football club and invented computers. Now he's worth more money than God. And there's a shot of you reading the paper.
Yes, on a twin-engine helicopter, that is.
Yeah. And so, when we're watching you going, and the voice was going, man of steel, nerves of a rabid dog, whatever, you're actually going, bloody hell, I can't wait for this thing to bloody land.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
You left the tape running. It's you turning
around
like this.
The point is, I've used a helicopter... Very, very occasionally when there's a need to get somewhere very, very quickly from one place to the other, but it's not my preferred route of transport.
Right.
And if I do use one, it's got to be a twin-engine Okie-Kokie 6 overhead camshaft, one jet ranger, blah, blah, blah.
So if one engine goes wrong, you've got another one to get you down.
That is the point, young man.
Right. So
that is the point. He's very perceptive, this
guy. Oh, yeah, Dave's got it.
He's not just an ugly face, is he?
Absolutely. It's all there.
He's very good. He's very good. You're very good.
Thank you very much.
You should go on The Apprentice.
We've got applications open for The Apprentice for next year.
Or maybe I'll get my form in.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
We'll probably be available.
Completely available by next year.
When do they film that?
Beg your pardon?
When do they film it?
We'll start later this year on the next year's series.
Oh, well,
yeah.
We could go in for that.
Yeah. Like you're getting the Tom Tack then from here? Or something, or what?
Every month.
It's something that...
Every month.
It's something you want to let the people know.
But there's nothing to tell them.
Oh, okay.
Every month.
Mm. Depends which paper you read.
I've been getting fired for 4 years.
Oh, right. Okay.
Every time I sign a new contract. And then they give it another week or two, and then they go, ooh. So we'll see.
You're walking a tightrope, aren't you?
Mm. Yeah, walking a tightrope.
How do you live?
Are you serious? I'm keeping this place going.
How do you live like that with that burden on your shoulder all the time?
Let me tell you whether
you've actually got a job the next day. I don't know how you do it.
Listen, let me tell you.
You've gone up in my estimation. You really have.
It's pretty hard, Lord.
You really have. I didn't realise the stress and
pain. Oh, stress is my middle name.
Unbelievable. What a man.
Thank you.
What a man.
I don't like to moan about it. I don't like to moan, though.
What a
you
man.
Know me. I just like to get on with it. I've got millions of people to entertain.
Bloody, you could be Prime Minister.
Wow. But they don't pay enough.
True.
Yeah. Mind you, at least they pay you on time. Don't get me started.
Time for news.
All right. Okay. BBC Radio. Could be number one on Sunday. Example.
Good,
change the way you kiss me. Come on, Lord Sugar. Let's have a boogie.
What are you talking about?
Let's have a boogie. Let's have a dance. Come on. I bet you love to do a bit of dancing.
Oof.
I bet at a wedding, at a family wedding.
I don't.
You and Mrs. Sugar.
I don't do it. No, we don't. No, I don't.
She'd love to dance.
I'm known for not dancing. People come up to me and they go, you know what winds me up the most? I'm sitting at a wedding or something like that, and they're all dancing, and people come up to me, why aren't you dancing? I said, I don't want to. And then you get another, why aren't you dancing? Because I don't want... About the 17th person that says to me, is so close to getting a smack on the nose. They really are.
Would Mrs. Sugar not love a little...
Well, she would, but, but she knows that I don't like doing it. So it's as simple as
I'll
that.
I'll teach you how to dance.
Teach me?
Sure.
Oh, God. Can you imagine a sight of me and you doing the Paso Doble?
No, but what we'll do is... We'll do it whenever you're ready. We don't have to do it. You stand on my feet. I'll lead.
Yeah.
And then I'll take you with me. It's easy.
No, I think I'd rather watch paint dry.
Right.
Men generally don't dance unless they're drunk, I find.
Oh, I'm a great dancer. Oh, am I a mover?
But not sober, though.
Yeah?
Do you dance sober?
I've got the moves. You should see me. I'm electrifying.
Aren't you? You know you're always moaning about your pay. Why don't you slip in and you know, because you do this in the morning.
Yeah.
And Strictly Come Dancing, I think, is filmed like, you know, you could go now, you could, if you was on it, you could actually slip away, right, go now to the dance studio, right, do your stuff.
Right.
And then you could be in the next Strictly Come Dancing. Why not?
I've got a career.
But the point is, it will enhance your career.
Well, yeah, but it's not, you know, it's not...
And then, who knows? You know, Bruce's last year. You could take over.
There's no replacing Bruce.
No, it's true.
No replacing
True.
Although, if they want to speak to my agent... I've got to say hello to Laura. I've just met a guy outside. He's working in a building across the road. They're stripping this building out.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got me to sign an album for his wife, Laurie. And he's called Troy. Laura and Troy. And he drives up from Portsmouth every day... Works here, opposite Radio 1, then drives back.
Morning, Laura.
Sounds like Harry Redknapp. That's what he does every day.
He can get a lift.
He drives some Bournemouth. There you are. Yeah. Put them together.
There you are. Beautiful.
Save a few pound on petrol.
They both win.
Harry's listening in.
Carpooling.
Bring Troy up to London with
him. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Jamie will be listening. He'll sort that
He's
out.
Normally listening, isn't he?
Yeah. Right, what else can I need to talk to Lord Sugar about? I can talk to you for hours. I want to know about your plane. Now, your plane, that has got to just drink money. Mm. Having a plane must be very expensive. So you need a pilot and a co-pilot?
Well, which plane you talk? I've got two at the moment. Yes. So I've got the one I fly around in, and I've got the bigger one. Yeah, the bigger one needs two pilots, yes.
See, I'd be scared.
Why?
Oh, because I'm not a big fan of flying. Well, I like flying. I'm scared of turbulence.
Yeah.
And it's an irrational fear, and I get that, and I'm trying to control it. But in the little bit, I take it the one you fly is quite small.
Well, the little one, you get more turbulence in that, and you get in a big jet. But the thing is, you've got to think about it as, you know, a roller coaster at the fun fair, for example. All it is a pocket of air. You're just dropping up and down, and it's not... It's really... I mean, if you've been on a boat, right?
Yeah.
So you've been on a boat, and you see the waves coming, and you hit the waves.
Yeah.
You quite understand why... you're jumping up and down. Well, it's the same thing. Think of the waves as different kind of flows of air up there, and it's the same thing.
Is your plane... So you have two planes, the one which you fly, because I know you love a bit of flying, and then the one that you fly in, that you get flying about. Now, you bought that new?
Yeah. Well, I had the same model, and then they brought out a new one, which had a bigger petrol tank in for
right.
You know, for simple people like you to understand. Thank it's got you. A few other bits and pieces on
sure.
it. But to make it simple for you, it's got a bigger tank on it, so it goes a bit further.
It's got a bigger boot. I get you.
Yeah.
Sunroof and whatnot. Now, do they give you discount when you buy the plane?
Oh.
Because they should.
Is the Pope Catholic?
Right, okay.
Don't be ridiculous. Can you imagine me negotiating with the... I'll tell you what, the salesmen that sell aeroplanes, if you've got this vision of some bloke on a second-hand car salesman on a bomb site with his sheepskin coat on and his big chunky gold bracelet, you see, that is a vision of a second-hand car salesman.
Yeah.
Now, take that vision, right, and now put a nice suit on him, right, with a nice tie... Right, and possibly a slight fake Etonian accent, and there you've got aircraft salesmen, right? They are the biggest villains going, honestly, particularly the mid-Atlantic ones, the ones that spend half their time between America and England. So when I bought that plane you're talking about there, the bloke said to me, he said, right, okay, well, the basic price of the plane that you've negotiated is very, very... I don't know how you managed to do that. I thought, schmoozing twit. He said, right, now extras. I said, no, I don't want any extras. Because that's where they make the money, these ovens. That's how I got into trouble with the oven. So he says, right, you've got to have an oven. I said, no, He says, you've got to have the internet connect. No. He says, you've got to have the special so-and-so. No. You've got to have the double three phones. No. You've got to have the in-house internet. No. So he was really depressed by the time I finished with him, but I said no too many times. I realised that we needed an oven. I had to fit it afterwards.
I was looking at getting a new car the other day, and I'm thinking, I'm sitting on the website, and I'm thinking, I like that model.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's have a look at the extras. Well, I want the sat nav. I want
this.
And I thought, out of curiosity, I'll get the best of what they've got. They've got the speakers. Mm-hmm. They've got these nice ones, but they've got these really nice ones. I'll have that, I'll have that. Anyway, I'm not really doing it properly. I'll have that.
You're ticking boxes, aren't you?
Yeah. The extras came to £500 more than the car.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly
really?
It.
Really?
It's mad,
goes
isn't it?
Back, goes back to the point I was making earlier on about the oven, right? This is where they make their money.
Wow. But worth it, though.
Worth what?
Having the plane,
Well, that's my little look, Chris. It's my little luxury. I've done all right. No, I've got a few quid, so I think to myself, you know, I didn't rob a bank, or I don't, you know, not one of these stock market people that, you know, prey on other people's misfortunes and all that. And I've worked hard, so I bought myself a plane to fly around in.
Well, it's just sitting there, and you're not using it. Mm. If you want, I could borrow it. You know, if it helps you out, to keep it.
You could, but, you know...
Keep it ticking along.
It's too big to just fly from London to Scunthorpe, you know, all the time.
I could fly to Leeds, innit?
Leeds, you could. It's a waste of time. Time you get to Stansted and you could have been halfway up the motorways.
Well, can't I take it out of RAF Northolt or somewhere?
Well, you could, but then the landing fee there would be prohibitive, and you have to get permission from the royals land there and all that
stuff.
It's a
nightmare.
If you want to phone the Queen up and say, look, Lord Sugar wants to land his plane at Norfolk because Chris Moores wants to go to Leeds. The Queens would say, why doesn't one get in a car and drive to Leeds, you know?
Because there's roadworks on the M1. The Queen probably knows that.
Tell the Queen, you know what she's like. She gets in a bit of a strop if you start winding her up like that.
All right, I'll get the train. Oh, God. Here's something else I want to ask you about. How do you get paid? Now, at the end of the month, most people listening to the show get paid. If they're in a cool little company with a groovy boss, they might get paid once a fortnight.
15th at the BBC. It's always middle of the month.
Yeah. Now, do you have a date when you get paid? And do you pay yourself pocket money?
I don't know. I think we get... everybody in all my companies get paid around the 20th or something like that.
Right. Month.
Now, I don't get paid, really, I suppose. I don't know. I suppose so. I suppose.
But do you not give yourself?
Yeah, I suppose.
Like a weekly, or a monthly
salaries, or that I get from the various companies. I suppose they come into my bank account around the 20th. Yeah.
Right.
What's the big deal?
Well, I was just curious.
Is that some kind of revelation? Have you got nothing else better than that?
But I'm interested. I think it's interesting. Like,
you get paid on a day.
Do you
15, 20?
But does your money go into a big business account, and do you have a little pocket
account? I've had the same account for 46 years with the Black Horse Bank, whose name I can't mention, Lloyds.
Right, okay, fine.
You know what I mean? And it goes into that account, and that's it.
All right. There's no need to get shirty.
Oh, blimey, what a stupid question.
It's not a stupid question.
It is.
Because you might turn around and go, do you know what? I really like getting a wage packet when I was younger, and what I do is, nothing's changed, and I get a wage packet. My accountant sorts me out a wage packet every month. The business money is the business money, and I pay myself a grand a week, and I get that at the end of every month. You could have answered with that, and that would have been a great answer.
No.
So it's not a stupid question, it was a boring answer.
No, it's a bit of a silly question.
In your face.
In your silly question.
It's not a silly question.
And, you know, a bit of a silly question. Anyway, move on.
Oh, you
move on.
All right, move on. I have made notes for you, because I knew you'd be like this. How do you relax?
Well, I like to watch telly. I go on my bike, I fly my aeroplane, that's it.
Do you sit down and watch movies with the missus?
Sometimes, sometimes. Not very often.
I feel sorry for her.
Not very often.
Oh, no. Imagine being married to this grump.
I mean, really. She does need a bit of a medal, I suppose.
She needs her own plane.
Yeah.
Well, that's why he's got two, maybe.
Yeah, she does, I suppose, yeah.
She needs to get a little getaway, that's what she needs. Mm-hmm. She needs to buy her a nice little villa in Portugal or something.
Yeah.
Not for you,
no,
for her.
No, for her, yeah.
And then she goes, oh, I'm off.
Yeah.
Yeah, get that plane out of the back.
She's had the opportunity for doing that. I mean, but she's, for some reason or other, she likes to, you know, be at home with me. I don't know why. It's anyway, like there you are.
Torture. Yeah. She's torturing herself,
well,
wouldn't you?
Maybe. Maybe I'm not as bad as you think.
I've sussed you. I know what you're like.
Yeah.
I can see you sitting there in your pyjamas, watching telly at night with a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Massaging Mrs. Sugar's feet. Mm. Saying, oh, look what's on Desperate Housewives on. Can we watch that? Oof. She's like, oh, come on. I bet that's the secret you.
What's on a series link on your Sky Plus?
Oh, seriously, at the moment, not a lot, really, apart from The Apprentice and You're Fired. What else we got on there at the moment? Well, this time of year, there's not much to put
on. Geordie Shores? Are you watching Geordie Shores?
There was something I watched the other night, which was quite good. I can't remember the name of it, but it was in a series starting with some detective or ex-detective. I can't remember what it was called.
It's a great review.
That was okay.
That's a rubbish answer. That was a great question.
And then they get some of these American programs which came on Sky Atlantic.
Yeah.
Mustn't mention Sky Atlantic at the BBC. But anyway, at Sky Atlantic, they imported some good stuff. And they ran them, but there's nothing new on there. I'm waiting for the new series. You know what I like? I like that programme called Entourage. Have you ever seen that?
I love Entourage.
I love the character. He reminds me, you're a bit like him, actually.
Who?
You. What's
Which
his
one?
Name?
Ari?
Ari, yeah.
The agent.
You just put two phones in each of your hands, one in each hand, and I think you're a bit like Ari, yeah.
I have been known at Sir Alan, to Lord Sugar, sorry. Sir Alan, Lord Sugar, I have been known to walk into this building or the studio and go, Alan! Until he appears.
Yeah.
In fact, he's not here. He's not here now. I could try that now.
Could try it.
You ready? I walk in. I needed something. Alan!
Yeah.
There you go.
Bloody demon, honestly.
That's how we roll, though.
That's exactly how
we roll. Yeah. He's my Lloyd.
What a manager.
The butcher.
Well,
No, please.
All right, okay. Who makes you laugh? Michael McIntyre make you laugh?
Yeah, I do like him. I think he's very, very good. There's some, you know, comedians that... I was like Jack D. I like his dry sense of humour.
He's funny, Jack.
I like the other guy, Larry David, actually.
All right.
I like his kind of
You like
of
the
sense
grumps, I'm saying this.
Yeah.
It's like looking in the mirror.
And Basil, when that character of Basil was fantastic, John Cleese. Some of the modern-day comedians, I don't know, they seem to be clones of each other, really. Of the modern-day comedians, I think Michael McIntyre, he's...
Do you like it racy sometimes? Do you like a little bit of racy comedy? A bit of blue, a bit near the edge?
No, I think I'm a bit old-fashioned like that. Right. Lewd and rude and crude and
Peter Kay, do you like Peter Kay?
Yeah, he's great.
He's good.
He's very, very
good. He's playing this week. You should go
he's
and see
him.
He's
at the O2. Saw him last night. He was brilliant. Good. He was.
Yeah, I'll watch it on telly.
Can you imagine?
You know what? I don't go to any of these events. Driving there, getting in, going, getting to your seat.
Oh,
people walking around.
Oh.
I mean, they say to me, I love playing tennis. And I say, I've never been to Wimbledon. Now, why would anybody go all that way, travel right across London, battle your way through London in the baking hot heat, get pushed and shoved around, queuing and all that stuff, then you're sitting in the sun, when I've got a great big HD TV that I can watch it at home.
For the atmosphere, for the experience.
There you are. All right, I know I'm wrong.
Right, well, you are.
I'm just saying, I know I'm wrong.
Grumpy.
I'm not saying that the people that go there are silly, but I just wouldn't do it. I'd sit and watch it at home in HD and all
that. Do you fancy going to Glastonbury this year?
What is that?
The music festival, Glastonbury.
No, I don't. That's certainly
come on, come with us.
You got a tent there, have you?
Well, I'll get you a tent. I'll get you a luxury tent.
And a primer stove. You would have big, fat wall sausages, I suppose. And have you got anything low? Would you make me a salad?
Look at me. Look. Do I not look good?
Yeah. You would have wall sausages.
Look,
yeah.
This is what he wants the Maybach for. He wants transport to Glastonbury.
Yeah, I do.
This is why Theo would never lend him the Maybach, because there's no way he wants to get it all muddy.
Right.
Yeah. Have it washed when it gets back.
Never going to lend you that.
Theo would do it. Theo, if you put a right deal to him, he'd have a deal
with
it.
Do you think?
Well, I'll look into it. And finally, Twitter, of course. Lord Sugar is one of the leaders of Twitter.
Boy, does this man like to tweet.
You've really embraced it.
It was thanks to you. The last time I was in here, I only had 50,000 followers, or less than that, actually a few thousand followers, and you said, go and follow Lord Sugar. By the time I walked out the building, there was about 50,000 more. It's unbelievable. Mm. There's this bloke Morgan on there. I like to keep him in place, you know. I have to keep him, knock him down a little bit. I think it's a kind of a service to the public.
Sure.
You know, you understand what I mean? To the British public. Mm. So...
He's going to be a dad.
Yeah,
well,
he is.
Well, his missus is pregnant.
He is going to be a dad, yeah. I was expecting him to ask me to be the godfather, but...
Nothing yet.
Nothing yet. The funniest thing he's actually said ever since he's been on Twitter is that only if Gaddafi turns it down, then he would choose me.
He's charming, isn't he?
Yeah, he's charming like that, yeah.
That must be a nice feeling, though, because obviously, you know, there's a bit of banter between you two, but the fact that The Apprentice is seen by millions and millions of people in this tiny little island of ours, and he's on to the whole of America and the world and gets 13, 14 people watch his show.
Yeah, I think it is, yeah. He claims that he has a potential of 300 million viewers.
Well, of course.
Yeah, well, you know, we've got a potential of 65 million here. But I think he gets about 12 and a half viewers at 9 o'clock.
Bless him.
Sometime. And if he gets a real celebrity on, you know, gets a real celebrity on there, you know, then he'll get maybe 100 viewers or something like that.
Yeah, sometimes.
It's all right. He's learning his way, you know.
Yeah, he's happy.
He's learning his way.
Plus, it keeps him away from us.
Yeah.
Lord_Sugar. So if you want to follow Lord Sugar on Twitter, then I think you should. Mm. And the nice thing about him is, and I'll tell you the truth, if you follow Lord_Sugar, as I think we all do on the show, often he will say, this business is good, and it's doing a deal with this. So you can go and have a look, see if you're interested. Or he'll say, my book says this, go and get my book. Or he might say, that's an interesting question, my answer is this. But it's not worth following for that. It's worth following from those moments when he's in a real grump. They're the best tweets.
Yeah.
Why am I bloody playing for this blubbing thing? Blubbing. He's in Starbucks throwing a paddy. Wah! Moccacino, overpriced rubbish. That's why you should follow him. He's good.
Well, even this morning you were moaning about the traffic.
Yeah, and you know what annoys me about the traffic? Is that there's this road we come up, Seven Sisters Road.
Right.
I swear to God, they dig it up, and you think, oh, we're put up with this for a week or 2 weeks. And they take the roadworks away, and the traffic flows nicely. And then you go up the road a week later, and they've dug the same hole. But this time, it's not the gas company; it's the electric company that have dug the hole.
Why did they not do it all while the hole was open?
Because that would be clever, wouldn't it? That would be clever, you see. So you know, I'm thinking to myself, this is a plot. But apparently, everybody says they have roadworks all over the place, causing everybody aggravation.
Well, that's what they do.
And that's what's even worse is that. When you get it in your mind that this road works, and so you've got to be at the Chris Moyles show at 7:45, I'll leave at 6 in the morning, and then they throw a wobbly on you. There's no road works, and you get there at 7 o'clock. And you get there, and there's not a bit of traffic around.
Well, you got here in all good time today, and I'm glad you came in. The Apprentice continues to power its way through the TV schedule. 9 o'clock tonight, BBC One. If you've got the HD, you want to watch it in the HD, BBC One HD, because it looks great.
Mm.
It's all blue and lovely. And if you're watching The Apprentice anyway, maybe your series linked it, look out for, and hopefully in a few weeks' time, one little boardroom scene where he's got, what is it? I made a note. One blue eye and one green eye. And only us will know.
Like a business rabbit.
Would you... By the way, I love that in The Apprentice. One of my favourite things. I love the show so much. You know, the girl on reception used to have a name.
Yeah.
Do you remember that in the early days?
Yes. What was she called? I can't remember.
Francis.
Yes. Yeah.
So it'd be this. He'd be there. Can you send them in, please, Francis? He'd forget. He'd always forget her name, right? Could you send them back in, please? And Margaret's like this. Francis. Francis, thank you. Anyway, she doesn't have a name now.
No, because I can't remember.
And he, but
as you get older, you lose your memory.
But I think you forget.
No, because
you don't know her name. So you do this. You go. Could you send them in, please?
Please, that's please, her name. Her name's Please.
Is that what
you
it see, is?
You didn't realise that. People don't realise. They said, what's the new receptionist girl's name? Her name's Please.
Can you send them in, please? Mm. She goes, certainly. That's nice. I don't think those two have ever met in the history of that show.
Do you not?
Yeah. Can you know why? Because he never goes out that other door.
Yeah.
Oh, I do, but they haven't got the time to show it.
It doesn't make any sense.
I go out there and I make sure that she's okay. She's got a coffee and she's happy. And the air conditioning's
good. I don't think you do. I think it's like...
I make sure that she's well looked after. But sometimes I have to go out there and say to her, look, I'm going to fire someone in about 5 minutes' time and you need to be in reception in case you want to go and do, you know, go to the loo or something like that. So you go off now and get yourself sorted out and so that, and then you, you know, put your thumb up and I'll know when I can fire somebody. So you're sitting there, you know.
What happens is everyone turns up at this place, right? And there's sofas and there's a reception desk.
Yeah.
Okay. That's how you get in, right? Reception's always where they meet you.
Yeah.
And then you go into the boardroom. But it's Lord Sugar, he comes from another door. He comes from a magic door. What's behind that door? What goes on in there?
Well, that's saying boardrooms normally do have more than one entrance, you know, and there's one that's normally attached to the CEO's office.
I want to go in there. I want to have
a
look.
Well, all right. Well, maybe one day, if you're a good boy... you come up there and you can have a look.
There's... And no one asks.
No.
No one ever goes, Lord Sugar, can I ask? No. Can I have a look in there?
You see, you asked me earlier on about whether I look at the film sometimes, and I mentioned to the producers that when the people are sent away in the taxi...
Mm. Yes.
Have you noticed in this series...
Go on.
...that they put the light on for Hired? On the taxi.
And they put the meter on.
In the metro. In the past, the guy didn't put the Hired sign on. And I said, this is against BBC compliance rules. Because what that will imply is that they're getting a free ride in a London taxi, which is absolutely out of order. So you see what the detail, the level of detail that I actually get involved in is unbelievable.
Wow. Where did they put their pull-along luggage when they're in the boardroom? No, because you know when they come out...
They're all stacked around the floor in the boardroom.
Oh, okay.
So we don't put the cameras on that because we don't think people want to watch luggage sitting but in the corner, you know what I mean? They prefer to see the expressions on the face of the candidates rather than look at, you know...
Oh, I don't know.
I'd like to see see luggage cam.
You know, I mean, you give a quick flash on the luggage, but that's about... You couldn't put it on there for too long, could you?
And then sometimes you're on videotape going, or on a big screen going, hello, good morning. Now, I can't be with you today because I can't be asked. But your challenge today is that true? When you wake up, maybe it's Mrs. Sugar's birthday and she wants a cuddle, and you go, just play the video. I can't be bothered. I'm not turning up.
What are you talking about? What are you going on about? Honestly. Honestly.
I have no idea.
My God.
I just like the show.
Give him a Red Bull, will you?
Lovely to see you.
Okay,
it's always lovely to have you on the show. You got a busy day today?
I have indeed. I'm off up to the to UView. You don't know what UView is.
UView?
Yes, UView.
I think Dominic uses that website, doesn't he?
We're not on the market yet.
Right.
But next year, I'll tell you about the new television system that we are designing.
Oh.
UView. It is very new.
And very new.
Very new for you, view.
Oh, Alan, do you like that?
I do. Is it internet-based to your TV?
Oh, I can't disclose that, but it is. All of the TV, BBC, ITV, Channel 4, Channel 5, BT, TalkTalk, Arcavia, they're all in this consortium. They've sent me in to be the chairman to make sure that we got this new TV system that will be coming out shortly. Oh. It's kind of like, you know... an advanced version of Freeview, which has got and it's a fantastic idea, brilliant idea. You're going to love it. You're going to love
it. Do we get it free? Do we like?
Yeah, there's no subscription.
All right, no, but like, you're going to give us one?
Well, you get one from your internet service provider. They'll most probably give you one. I don't want to speak out of turn, but they could actually charge initially for it because it's so good. But wait, watch this space. This time next year, television revolution.
Television.
You heard it here first.
Wow. Are you sure you don't want to buy Leeds United?
No, I wouldn't go against Ken.
All right. Worth a try. Everton?
No, not really.
Aberystwyth? No.
Partick Thistle, maybe.
Much cheaper.
Hamilton Academicals, I've liked that name. Are they still going?
Mm.
What, you like the name?
I like the name, that's one reason to buy them, isn't it? Really?
Hamilton Academicals.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Why did you get into this club, Lord Sugar? I like the name. I think it looked pretty. Really?
Yeah.
That's it. Thank you, bye-bye. All right, 9 o'clock tonight, BBC One for The Apprentice. And good luck with your day today. Good luck with everything.
Thank you, sir.
And the bike riding and the weeing in trees. Mm-hmm. I think we've learnt a lot today.
We have, haven't we?
All right. Let's play a song and then we'll carry on. Lord Sugar, ladies and gentlemen, The Apprentices tonight, 9 o'clock on the mighty BBC One, the bestest of all the BBC channels, unless I'm appearing on another one. Thank you.